Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, 4th canto, chapter 20, text 18.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Prashantam
Hareyo
Prena Vriditam Sena Karmana Shaptakratum Parisvajya Vidvesham Visasarja Ha Prashantam Padayo Prena Viditam Svena Karmana Shatakratum Parishvajya Vidvesham Visasarjaha. Sprishantam. Touching.
That says
Padayo. The feet.
So
Prena.
In ecstasy.
Mriditam.
Ashamed.
Svena.
His own.
Karmana. By activities. Shatakratum. King Indra. Parishvajya. Embracing. Vidvesham. Envy. Visasarja. Gave up. Of course. Translation and purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As King Indra was standing by, he became ashamed of his own activities and fell down before King Prithu to touch his lotus feet. But Prithu Maharaj immediately embraced him in great ecstasy and gave up all envy against him for his having stolen the horse meant for the sacrifice. There are many cases in which a person becomes an offender to the lotus feet of a Vaishnava and later becomes repentant. Here also we find that although the King of Heaven, Indra, was so powerful that he accompanied Lord Vishnu, he felt himself a great offender for stealing Prithu Maharaj's horse that was meant for the sacrifice. An offender of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is never excused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many instances illustrating this fact. Ambarish Maharaj was offended by Durvasa Muni, a great sage and mystic yogi. And Durvasa also had to fall down at the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj. Indra decided to fall down at the lotus feet of King Prithu, but the king was so magnanimous a Vaishnava that he did not want Maharaj Indra to fall down at his feet. Instead, King Prithu immediately picked him up and embraced him, and both of them forgot all the past incidents. Both King Indra and Maharaj Prithu were envious and angry with each other. But since both of them were Vaishnavas or servants of the Lord, It was their duty to adjust the cause of their envy. This is also a first-class example of cooperative behavior between Vaishnavas. In the present days, however, because people are not Vaishnavas, they fight perpetually among one another and are vanquished without finishing the mission of human life. There is a great need to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement in the world so that even though people sometimes become angry and malicious toward one another, because of their being Krishna conscious, such rivalry, competition, and envy can be adjusted without difficulty. Om Jnanati Madandusha Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurum Viritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So, do you know what this means? Do you understand what this means? The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to be the ideal example of how to live peacefully. The entire world is presently plunged into great chaos. On the slightest provocation, there is fight. There is fight between husband and wife. There is fight between friends. There is fight between brothers and sisters. There is fight between parents and children. There is fighting between neighbors. There is fighting between different nations. Everywhere it is going on, fighting, 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 fighting. So, this Krishna consciousness movement is the example of how to live without fighting. So what does that mean if we are fighting amongst ourselves? That means we are not really doing our duty. That means we are actually not the Krishna consciousness movement. If we're fighting amongst ourselves, we are not the Krishna consciousness movement. We are a mere shadow of the Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna consciousness movement we read about in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. All the wonderful loving dealings amongst the Vaishnavas. One big happy family. So we have to come to that standard in our movement. That if there is any misunderstanding, if there is any fight or envy that comes, then we immediately go to the Vaishnava that we have offended. And we fall down at his lotus feet. In this way, we can live peacefully and happily. And do our duty to show the world the ideal formula for peace and happiness. We have the peace formula. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutam gyatvamam shanshavanchati. We have the perfect peace formula. Whoever sees Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme owner, and the supreme friend, that person who sees like that, he can experience real peace.
И та личность, которая способна этому следовать, она сможет испытать настоящее умиротворение.
There are so many other so-called peace formulas.
Есть только так называемые формы мира.
But because they do not place Krishna in the center,
но поскольку Кришна там не находится в центре,
they are doomed to failure.
Они обречены на поражение.
Just like after World War I, they formed the League of Nations.
Как во время Первой мировой войны была основана Лига наций.
What good did their so-called League of Nations do?
И какое благо так называемая Лига наций
совершила? World War II came.
Пришла Вторая мировая война.
And then after World War II, they said, "Now we will do something better than the League of Nations."
И после Второй мировой войны они решили сделать что-то лучше, чем Лига наций.
We will form the United Nations.
Мы сделаем ООН.
But how much war and horrible things are going on since the United Nations was formed? Where is the unity? Where is the peace? Where is the loving relationships between the nations? It is simply envy and fighting. As soon as you come to the border, they say, "Where is your passport?" It's like barking dogs. Ruff, ruff. Where is your passport? Where is the love and trust? Welcome to our country. We're so glad you come. It is like that. They take your passport and look at it with very suspicious eyes, and look there and look at the screen. Are you Al-Qaeda? And what are you anyway? So this is the peace and happiness of the world. So we have a very big duty to do in this Krishna conscious movement. We have to learn how to love and trust one another. Here in the Tallinn Temple, throughout Estonia, all the devotees throughout Estonia, throughout the Baltic states, throughout all of Europe, the entire world, this kind of world, we have to learn how to live peacefully with each other. Prabhupada had to tell us, because we were, even though we have the greatest philosophy in the world, still so much fighting is going on amongst the devotees. Srila Prabhupada had to tell us, don't fight amongst yourselves. So, I mean, it should be what they call in English language, it's a no-brainer. That means it shouldn't take any, even a first grader, you know, a little child can understand that we shouldn't be fighting. This is the ultimate philosophy. For peace and happiness in the world. So it's common sense that the Hare Krishna devotees should not fight amongst themselves. But yet we see so much fighting is going on. So the question is, what's the solution? How will we put a stop to the fighting amongst the devotees? The answer is very simple. Any devotee who fully realizes and understands Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita, will not fight with another devotee. Because Krishna says, I am the enjoyer. Why do two devotees fight with each other? Because one devotee thinks, so I will be the enjoyer. And the other devotee thinks, no, I will be the enjoyer. Or I will claim ownership of this thing. The other devotee says, no, I claim ownership of this thing. So that is
fine.
Or someone thinks, I am the best friend. I am the best.
Yes,
and the devotee thinks, no, I am the best. So this way there is fight, there is
conflict.
But if we can recognize that actually I am not the enjoyer, I am simply the servant of the Supreme Enjoyer. I am not the proprietor, I am the servant of that Supreme Proprietor. Then that person, by his influence, will create a peaceful atmosphere wherever he goes. Yadya acharati shrestas tattare veto janasya yat pramanam krute lokastavana bharatate. Whatever the great man does, the common people will follow. Whatever standard he sets, by exemplary acts, the whole world pursues. So, sometimes we think the devotees say, well, ISKCON is that problem, ISKCON is this problem, we have to solve all the problems of ISKCON. But you know what? ISKCON will never be any better than you are. If you want ISKCON to become perfect, if you want your temple to become perfect, Vaikuntha, it will never be any better than you are. So whatever you like to see the temple become, whatever you like to see the movement become, you must become. The responsibility is on your shoulders. You are the pillars of this movement. You will make this movement what it is by your attitude. Don't think, well, it's somebody else's fault. They're screwing up the movement. No, we each one of us must take responsibility. One time in Dallas temple, there was one Brahmacharini. She thought, oh, the managers are not managing the temple correctly. So I will go home and live with my mother. And she wrote Prabhupada a letter and complained that I have now left because the managers are not managing properly.
Я не написал письмо, я сейчас ухожу, потому что мы начали не способны как следует уговорить.
So Prabhupada told her to go back.
Еще Прабхупада сказал возвращаться, вернуться.
And make the endeavor to improve the situation of the temple.
И чтобы она постаралась изменить ситуацию, которая сложилась в храме.
In other words, every single devotee is responsible for the atmosphere of the temple.
Другими словами, каждый один из этих преданных, он ответственен за то, что происходит там.
It's not just that we dump everything in the temple president. Whatever's going wrong, we just say, yeah, the president is bad. Or the national council is no good, that's why everything is bad. No. Each one of us has to take the responsibility. The movement will never be any better than we are as individuals. So if you want this movement to become perfect, then you become perfect. You understand? Isn't it? Is this correct what I'm saying, Manga Devi? Yeah. Yes, it is correct. I'm speaking according to Shastra. Bhagavad Gita 3.21. That's right. So the real question is, how can we become sadhus? Each and every one of us must become sadhus. We must become pure devotees, actually. Someone may surprise, I'm supposed to become a pure devotee? I thought all I had to do was, you know, chant 16 mouths and follow the principles, and my business was finished. What do you mean I'm supposed to become a pure devotee? What are you trying to pressure me anyway? But I have proof. Whenever there is an initiation ceremony, Prabhupada will also have Pajumna describe the 10 offenses against the holy name. In other words, when you take
Diksha,
simply chanting your rounds and following the principles, that's the beginning. But the goal is you have to become an offenseless chanter of the holy names. So don't think, oh, I'm initiated now I've got it made, I've got my position, now I'm a big devotee. No, initiation means the beginning. Just like when you enroll in the university. When you register at the university, does that mean that you now have your PhD? Just like you were enrolled in the university, you don't have your degree just by being enrolled. Enrollment means now you must work hard. To earn your degree. So when somebody takes Diksha, all that means is they're enrolling in the Hare Krishna University. They are now formally enrolled. And now the real work begins. There are three stages of chanting. Offensive chanting. Clearing stage. And the offenseless stage. So we start off in the offensive stage. And by our sincere endeavor and the mercy of our spiritual master, we are elevated from the offensive platform gradually to the clearing stage. And from the clearing stage, then we come to that wonderful stage, the offenseless stage. So getting back to the interactions between the devotees, the first offense against the holy name is to criticize the devotees who have dedicated their lives to spreading this movement. We may sometimes disagree with the way somebody else is preaching. Or the way they're doing their service. But if they are sincerely acting according to their realization and with the blessing of their authorities, then we must not criticize. We must respect them for their sincerity. Even we may disagree with them. We will never achieve the Shuddha Nama, the pure name, if we have a critical, negative attitude against the Vaishnavas. This is one of the symptoms of the Uttama Adhikari. The devotee in the highest level of bhakti. He has a heart which is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. He simply wants to serve, that's all. And he's always thinking and scheming and planning and executing a program for spreading Krishna consciousness to every living entity throughout the entire world. So if we all can strive to become to this platform, we are not in the mood of criticizing one another. We're not envious of one another. We love to serve one another. Just like we just came from Silamai. We had a very nice Namaha program there. Such wonderful service mood the devotees had. It was just so much service, you didn't feel like you were living in this material world. There was so much wonderful, loving service mood. We simply felt like we were living in Vaikuntha. So this spirit of serving the Vaishnavas with love, not begrudgingly with a negative attitude, this is the real meaning of the Hare Krishna movement. Srila Prabhupada describes that one of the items of surrendering to Krishna is that one should become a member of a spiritual family. So we have to feel of each other that we are family members. We should not think, oh, who is this stranger? We should think, oh, here are my beloved family members. When we see another this kind of devotee, we should think, oh, here is one of my beloved family members. How can I serve this person? This is, how can I see that he's happy? Some may think, well, you know, I really don't want to serve devotees. I'm just going to chant good rounds and serve my Guru Maharaj and go back to Godhead and get out of this material world. But do you think your Guru Maharaj wants you to only serve him? Prabhupada did not like disciples who would say, Prabhupada, I only hear from you, I only serve you. He liked disciples who appreciated the other devotees. This is what Prabhupada wanted to see. That famous quote, your love for me will be seen by how much you cooperate after my departure. So, our love for our spiritual master, our love for Srila Prabhupada, will be seen by how much we can serve one another with love. That's how much we love Prabhupada. That's how much we love our spiritual master. That's how much we love Krishna. If we try to say, no, I love God, but the devotee is there, nonsense. That is called Kanishta Adhikari. You cannot love God unless you love the devotees. Srila Prabhupada often quoted the English saying, if you love me, love my dog. So, he said, the spiritual master, he is the dog of God. So, unless you love the dog, the master will not accept your love. So, the Vaishnava, he is the dog of God. The Kanishta Adhikari, he doesn't like the Vaishnavas. He only likes Krishna. Did you know what? His mood is not bhakti. He comes to the temple and prays for material things. I remember in our Houston temple, there was one Sindhi businessman. He had a jewelry store in a very high scale shopping mall where the rich people shop. So he would come every Monday morning to the temple for darshan. Why Monday morning? Because he opens his shop every Monday morning. And before going to the shop, must come the darshan. Did he come to the Sunday program? No. Did he come to ever hear a Bhagavatam class? No. You would never ever see him at the temple, except he was very regulated every Monday morning on his way to open his shop. He was not interested to associate with any of the devotees. He just wanted the darshan of the deity, and that was all, nothing else. This is a classic example of a Kanishtha Adhikari. So we have to be careful that we are not in this mood. We have to see, here is a devotee. Devotee is a representative of
Krishna.
Let me serve this devotee with love. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Kai, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hui. That by associating with the sadhu, all the scriptures declare by associating with the sadhu for even 1/11th of a second. One can achieve all perfection. So what does it mean to associate with the sadhu? It means sadhu seva. You serve the sadhus. Sometimes we see another story from when Prabhupada was on the train in South India. The common people were very excited. They knew there was a great sadhu on the train. So the word went up and down through the car, there was a great, great sadhu on the train. So some of the villagers were very eager to get darshan with the sadhu. And Prabhupada, he was riding in one of those first class compartments with the door. So he was there with some of his sannyasis. And every time the door would open, these villagers would try to get in. So they could have darshan with the sadhu. But the sannyasi, they knew what kind of mood they had, so they kept trying to keep them from getting in. Their mood was they wanted some material blessings, you see. They didn't want service either, they just wanted to get something for their material desire. So the devotees, they tried to keep them from coming in. But Prabhupada is very merciful. And he just happened to notice these people wanted to come in. When the door opened, he happened to see. So he said, let them come. And they came in, and sure enough, they said, oh, Swamiji, I have a sore knee. Can you bless me that my sore knee will go away? So Prabhupada said, he said, this blessing I can give you. Remember, we're sitting around Prabhupada, all these young sannyasis with shaved head and saffron. Prabhupada said, this is the blessing I will give you. That you can become like these boys. And they immediately got scared. Oh no, Swamiji will do some sell on me and I will give up my house alive and become sannyasi. So they immediately found some excuse. And they got out of that compartment as fast as they could. And I'm also seeing, I have my internet, I preach on the internet, I have thousands of people on my e-course. I get some very materialistic letters sometimes. The other day somebody wrote me and they said, I want power and I want money. You please bless me with power and money. So we have to understand that we should not approach the sadhus for our selfish purposes. When we see that here is a sadhu, we must volunteer. What service I can do? What service I can do? What service I can do? That is how that mood, loving service to the
sadhu.
That's how we will achieve sarva siddhi, all perfection. This is one of the insider secrets. I guarantee if you will practice this advice I'm giving you, that you will quickly and easily become a pure devotee. And you will come to the stage of being able to see Krishna face to face. So we can ask now if there's any questions.
As you said, that ISKCON is a big family, and it is a big family, but we do not know everybody. So, isn't it wise to be a little skeptic of someone you do not know? Because we see there are someone who are also posing in the name of ISKCON.
Yeah, just like recently, some devotee came in posing as an ISKCON devotee, and he took everybody away from ISKCON here in Thailand. Some history. That was the question. Yeah, I'll tell him what the question and the answer.
Говорится, что преданные они одна большая семья, но мы не знаем священно этой большой семьи. И может быть кто-то пожелает прийти так в эту семью с каким-то другим предлогом. И как раз ответ был такой, что здесь Таня уже кто-то сделал это, уже несколько лет, что кто-то заявил, что он как бы.
Yeah, you should make sure with with your guru, your temple president, your GBC. If there's someone you don't know, then you should make sure that this person is a bona fide, you know, representative of Prabhupada. And if he is, then you should give him the full sadhu treatment. Not if some Mayavadi sannyasi shows up. You invite him to sit on the Vyasasana and give Bhagavatam
to.
Prabhupada, sometimes the devotees in the early days of ISKCON would let some Indian sadhu, you know, give the class. And Prabhupada chastised the devotees for doing that. It has to be someone who is authorized, you know, ISKCON preacher. Questions, Mark?
forgiveness.
Мой вопрос касается прощения.
The other day in Tartu, you mentioned that a person who criticizes Vaishnava can't be called Vaishnava.
Несколько дней назад, когда вы об этом говорили, вы сказали такую вещь, что тот, кто оскорбляет Вайшнава, он не может сам считаться Вайшнавом.
But on the other hand, a person who feels insulted also can't be called Vaishnava.
Но с другой стороны, человек, который чувствует оскорбленность себя, он также не может быть назван Вайшнавом.
Then, what is the meaning of forgiveness? I would like to understand what should happen, for example, in my heart, in my mind, when one asks me to forgive him, if I don't feel insulted, I don't feel that I, yeah, what to forgive?
That is very simple. All you have to say is, because I never took the insult to begin with, you don't need to even ask for forgiveness. It's very simple. Just like I may be dealing with another devotee, and in a mood of friendship and joyfulness, I may have said some joking word, but then later on I thought actually it was an insult what I said to that person. So then one can approach that person and say, you know, I said this the other day and I feel that I insulted you, so I'd like to apologize for having said that. I felt it was an insult. So please forgive me for having said that.
Подойти к нему какой-то день и сказать, что когда я с тобой вот так вот общался, я себя оскорбить, пожалуйста, прости меня за это оскорбление.
And the person may say, well, you know, it really was rude what you said, and I forgive you.
И человек может сказать, да-да, я почувствовал это как-то на себе, и я прощаю себе это.
Or he may say, well, you know, I didn't think it was rude at all. I don't even remember that you even said that, so it must not have been an insult. I would have remembered it. So if they didn't take it as an insult, then they don't have to forgive you. And you know, so either way you're fine. You just have to have a humble mood. If there was an insult and I apologize, and if you don't take it as an insult, then I feel happy you didn't take it as an insult.
Прошу прощения, и если что просить, это правильно. И если также я узнал, что этот человек вообще меня не считал оскорбителем, то тогда вообще, то есть, замечательно.
Is that clear? Does that answer the question?
But if, this part, it answered. But if I felt insulted, and one asks to forgive him, then what should happen in me?
You should say, well, of course you forgive him, Prabhu.
С другой стороны, если кто-то просит прощения, я чувствую, что есть это оскорбление, то что должно произойти у меня? И мы должны просто, да, принять это, я прощаю вас.
Yes, I'm certainly forgive.
Непременно я прощаю вас.
But what does it mean, this forgiveness? What
means? It means that I don't hold it against you, what you did. It's water over the dam, as they say in English. It's like it never even happened. Don't think anything of it, I don't hold it against you. It's been wiped off of it's been wiped off your record. It's like you never did it.
Oh, but it was possible that, but what if Indra hadn't been forgiven? What would happen with him then? Because it was said that Supreme Lord would never forgive.
It would be in great difficulty. He could have lost his position as the king of heaven. That could have happened. Prithu would not forgive him. He could have lost his position as the king of heaven. Vaishnava aparad can even take away your, it can take away your duration of life. It can cause death.
Vaishnava aparad может забрать продолжительность вашей жизни и даже служить причиной вашей смерти.
Can cause untimely death.
Безвременную смерть может принести.
It's a very heavy thing, Vaishnava aparad.
Это очень тяжелая вещь, Vaishnava.
Does it mean that the statement that the Supreme Lord would never forgive such a person, it is connected only with this life, not it doesn't last eternally?
Oh no. Death doesn't purge away your offenses. There's no easy way out. I'll commit suicide because I've been a Vaishnava Aparadi. I just hope that I'll, you know, die real soon so I can get over it. No, those offenses can go with you lifetime after lifetime. You better clear up your account now.
But I asked. But Indra asked for forgiveness, and but let's say he wasn't for. That he didn't got this forgiveness.
If he wasn't forgiven, then what? Then what?
In the next life.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
If he wasn't forgiven, that means maybe he's not approaching with enough humility. He has to become even more humble in his approach. Until finally the Vaishnava is satisfied with his humility. But the Vaishnava wants to forgive. He's very merciful. He may sometimes make a show of being hard on the offender just to teach him a better lesson. But actually, the Vaishnava's heart is always soft. And always forgiving. Questions?
Vaishnava's forgiveness can be in a very heavy curse also.
Does it? Yeah. Not only
curse to those two boys.
Yeah, that is a way of them purging. Yeah, it's not exactly forgiveness, but it's a way of overcoming the event. It's similar to forgiveness. You had a question?
What does it mean to be sincere? What does it mean to be sincere?
yes. What does it mean to be sincere? To be sincere means to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am His eternal servant. Do you understand that, then you are sincere?
Is that theoretical or practical?
So the question is that theoretical or practical? Of course, the concept itself is a theory. When that concept becomes practically manifest, that is actual sincerity. The theoretical understanding is potential sincerity. And the practical manifestation is actual, realized sincerity. Yeah, I don't know. Prabhupada would sometimes tell a devotee that you are sincere. What is the actual meaning of that sincerity? I don't know. I mean, Prabhupada told me one time that I was sincere. So I don't know what exactly, you know, what did Prabhupada say that I was sincere? All I can do is look. I had never met him face to face at that time. It was just I had from a distance, you know, I'm just one in the crowd. But he didn't know me personally at the time. But I had written him a letter. I had sent in my Guru Dakshin. I just got initiated. Baba was in London and I was in Texas. I just got initiated. He sent my name in a letter and mailed me the Japa Mala also. And another, he had Vishnujana Swami do the Yajna. So I was mailing the Guru Dakshina to Prabhupada that I collected at the Yajna. And I saw here was a golden opportunity. I could have my first personal letter to Prabhupada. So I must have told Prabhupada that how I wanted to spread the movement. Because I was very inspired seeing Vishnu Jana Maharaj. She was very eager to spread Krishna consciousness. So I must have told him like that, I wanted to spread this movement. Then he wrote me back and said, I see that you're very sincere. So that's one example. If you're very eager to spread Krishna consciousness. Actually, here's the whole statement. It says, I can see that you are a very sincere and enthusiastic boy. He said, now continue enthusiastically as you were doing. And surely Krishna will bless you. So if you have a desire to push forward, if you have a desire to please your spiritual master, if you have a desire to please Srila Prabhupada, if you have a desire to please Krishna, if you have a desire to save the fallen souls of this Kali Yuga, and that, then you are sincere.
That are we speaking.
So, do you do anything? The word doing is very important there.
If one has a genuine desire, automatically you will be doing it.
Сказать, что я хочу делать, это значит, что вы своим действием будете проявлять это желание.
If you have a genuine desire, Desire is a fire that burns in your heart.
Желание это как огонь, который горит в вашем сердце.
Unless that desire, unless you actually do it, then you can't live in peace.
До тех пор, пока вы не начнете это делать, вы просто не сможете с мире жить.
Just like you may have a desire to eat.
Как, например, если у вас есть желание есть.
And if you go on not satisfying that desire, it would be an intolerable at a certain point.
Если вы продолжаете делать, а это желание сохраняется, то в какой-то момент это становится просто невыносимым.
So one has a desire to please Krishna, to please Guru.
Если у кого-то есть желание удовлетворить Гуру, удовлетворить Кришну.
Then not doing that would be an intolerable pain for the person.
Не делать это, тогда станет просто невыносимым болью.
So one has a desire to please, then one may not be very expert, may make so many mistakes, but that desire will carry them through and purify them.
Может быть, опыта недостаточно будет или будут совершены какие-то ошибки, но это желание приведет через все это.
So you simply have a desire to please your spiritual
master.
Even if you fall flat on your face and make so many mistakes.
И даже если вы лицом прямо в башню упадете,
just keep that fire, keep the fire of desire burning in your heart.
Но желание будет, вы будете держать это желание в своем сердце.
That I want to please Guru Maharaj.
Что я хочу удовлетворить своего Гуру Махарадж.
And then you will be recognized as a sincere devotee.
Тогда вы будете признаны как искренний преданный.
And Krishna will give you all help.
And Krishna does not just a помощь.
He will inspire you to do like this, do like that. You will understand how to serve nicely. It will come.
И он даже будет вам внутри указывать, как лучше сделать.
Question is more.
Еще вопрос.
У меня такой вопрос, что Прабхупада дает такой пример, что наше материальное существование это как болезнь, и преданное служение это как лекарство.
Шрила Прабхупада gives examples of our material condition, living condition, it's like disease condition. But the devotional service is like a cure for this disease.
И у меня вопрос такой, что может ли преданный, который занимается преданным служением, сам определить как бы дозу этого лекарства, либо у него передозировка, либо ему недостаточно этой дозы.
Can you put your mind away from the microphone so it's clear, it's too much burping there, we can't hear you.
Could a devotee on his own understand what the degree of devotional service he should accept, whether he over endeavors or he is lacking in his devotional service. He is lacking of practice of devotional service. Lacking in his practice of devotional service.
Lacking in what?
In his practice of
practice. Okay. So the question is, can one understand on one's own whether he's properly engaged or he's overly engaged, under engaged? Can one understand on one's own? That's the question,
right?
The answer is yes. Teisham satate yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenam yam upiyantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me.
Тот, кто постоянно с преданностью относится ко мне и постоянно занят духовной практикой, тому я даю наставление, как он может прийти ко мне.
However,
тем не менее,
we have a cheating tendency.
У нас есть тенденция обманывать.
Therefore, we require a spiritual master.
Поэтому нам требуется духовный учитель.
Who tells us, do like this, don't do like that.
Который мог бы сказать, делай это и не делай это.
Because until we are actually mature in Krishna consciousness,
поскольку до тех пор, пока мы не обретем зрелость,
we will tend to many people would tend to take it too easy in Krishna consciousness. They won't push themselves hard enough. Or someone may push themselves too hard also. So the spiritual master is a trainer. Just like somebody who wants to make it into the Olympics, athlete. Do they do it on their own? No, they will pay money and hire a trainer. Actually, they pay big money and hire a trainer. It's very difficult to be objective about your own bhakti practice. We have a tendency to look at ourselves through our own conditioned vision. So actually we require a spiritual master who can look objectively at how we are engaging. Whether we're overdoing it, whether we're underdoing it, or whether we're properly doing it. And they're all there, not only Guru, but the Vaishnavas are there too. Temple president is there, senior devotees are there. We, through Guru, through Vaishnavas, through our authorities, we can get a clear picture of whether I'm properly engaged or not. But you're meant to come to the stage where you can actually perceive it very clearly on your own.
No, так должно произойти, чтобы достигнуть стадии, когда вы сами сможете оценить себя самого.
At that stage, you will become a powerful spiritual leader who can train thousands of people how to become pure devotee.
Тогда вы можете быть могущественным духовным лидером, способным вести множество других людей.
So we want you to come to that stage where you can actually see objectively how you are engaging in Krishna
consciousness.
Questions, Mark? All questions are answered. All right, Manji.
Sometimes devotees who are in the temple.
In what?
Who are in the temple.
In a temple.
Living in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they find that they are doing too much service. They see something that if they were outside, at least they are within the temple, if they are doing the service, they are able to practice Krishna consciousness. But if they were to live outside, they would have to work job, pay their rent. So they won't have time for Krishna consciousness. So how do you balance these things? That to see that the devotee who is staying in the temple is a favorable situation.
Вопрос в том, что иногда преданные, которые живут в храме, они как бы занимаются духовной практикой, и есть люди, которые на стороне, они как бы должны зарабатывать деньги, платить по счетам. И у них даже не остается времени, чтобы прийти в храм. Как могут те, кто живут в храме, оценить преданное служение тех и быть благословенным тем, которые на стороне, чтобы делать, не живут в храме?
The answer is very simple.
Ответ очень прост.
That's up to the spiritual master to see that the disciple is properly engaged.
И это на самом деле правильный ответ.
It's up to the temple president to see that that person is properly engaged. And the department head, That person is a woman, that person's husband should take responsibility to see his wife is properly engaged. In this way. Any more questions? So, we thank you very much. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Sankarsana Maharaj Ki Jai.